Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 35. "What do we do now?" asked Riker.
"There's not much really we can do except wait, Mr. President," said Admiral Donetti.
"Sir, I have some chatter coming in from the Griffith Observatory," said the Master Chief.
"Put it on speaker, Chief," said Donetti.
"In the fleet.
Did you get that?" said the female voice on the phone.
"Negative, Dr. Flandern.
Say that again," said the Master Chief.
"I said the smaller ships began forming up into three large groups. I make it out to be about 400 ships in the fleet, maybe more."
"Hello?" said Dr. Flandern.
"Roger that. You're on speaker now. This is Admiral Donetti of the Joint Chiefs."
"Can you tell the President what you just told the Master Chief?" said Donetti.
"Oh, yes, of course. Sorry, Mr. President. I didn't know you were there. I'm Mary Van Flandern."
"Yeah, that one.
Tom was my father. We have our big scope on the ships out there. We've been filming for about 3 hours. I don't think everything is going as planned up there. I mean, some of the ships, about 50 or more, began tumbling out of formation. One or two at first, and then like five at a time. It's like their gyros went bad or something.
I think they have problems in the fleet," said Mary, talking overly loud like she was trying to be heard better.
"Hold on, Mary," said Donetti, drawing his hand across his neck as a motion to the Master Chief to put her on hold.
"Mr. President, I don't think they're going to delay any further. They're going to attack now," said Donetti, stressing the last word like he was starting a race.
"What makes you think that?"
"Shit," said Riker as he realized the answer as soon as he asked the question.
"The pilots.
They're turning," said Bainbury.
"Hadid, you're the expert on what we're dealing with here. What the hell is going on?" asked Riker.
"Translation, Mr. President," said Hadid coolly.
"In English?"
"You're speaking English already, Hadid," said Riker.
"No, Mr. President. You asked me what is happening. I am telling you, it is translation. The human pilots, some of them, are being translated," said Hadid, using his hands to indicate one side and then the other.
"Not so mad after all, are you, Bainbury?" said Donetti.
"Well, if you're giving out credit," said Bainbury, touching his medals with his right index finger.
"Sorry, General. The official commendation ribbon design bureaucracy doesn't exist anymore.
Cutbacks. You understand," said Riker, smiling.
"You're right. Let's hit 'em while their guard is down," said Bainbury.
Riker looked at General Bainbury and then up, like he expected lightning to strike any second.
"Listen, Mary, stay on as long as you can and tell us when the ships begin moving out. We need to know. Can you do that?"
"Yes, Mr. President. I will have someone looking at this screen, and we'll keep this line open. Will that be okay?" asked Mary.
"That'll be fine, Mary. I will have the Master Chief on this end at all times."
"Thank you," said Donetti.
"No problem," said Mary, not sounding like she wanted to end the conversation just yet.
"Hey, just a question. Are we okay here?
You'd tell me if they were targeting this area, wouldn't you?" asked Mary.
"Mary, as far as we know, you're safe from this attack. Based on our intel, and it's really glitchy right now, they mean to take out the East Coast area," said Riker.
"Dear God.
Our prayers are going out to you," said Mary, putting her hand over her mouth.
"That and that 100-inch view you have are all we need, Mary. We were never going to make it through this alive anyway. I guess now we'll just have a little clearer picture about what happens after that."
"We'll be okay, Mary. Hang in there," said Riker.
"I'll be ready. You just stay safe," said Mary.
"We will, Mary," said Riker, motioning to the Master Chief to mute the microphone.
"Master Chief, you have someone here 24/7. The rest of you, join me in the conference room. I have an idea," said Riker.
Hadid opened the door, and the men stood up to leave.
It was a short walk down the hall, and within a few minutes they were secure inside the soundproof conference room on the same floor.
"Admiral, the HARP team is still running, right?" asked Riker.
"Yes, Mr. President," said Donetti, pulling out a chair and motioning for everyone to sit down.
"Sounds like we're getting ready to do something besides sit on our ass and twiddle our thumbs," said Bainbury.
"I want to reach the heart of their forces," said Riker.
"I don't think they have a heart, Mr. President. They have a brain, and from what I know of General Morley, he was forged in the bowels of the mountain."
"You're not turning him," said Donetti.
"Oh, they have lots of hearts over there. Some of them are lost and scared and confused, but they are over there. They are in darkness, because that's all they know. Some of them have already lost their families, because they are here, with us."
"I think we can give them a chance," said Riker.
"The seed of Lucifer, they will not change," said Hadid.
"Some of those pilots changed. They just blinked out of their harnesses, and who knows where they are now. The point is that they're no longer pulling a trigger on us. Frontline soldiers, and we turned them. You turned them, General. You turned them,"
said Riker, looking General Bainbury in his blue-gray eyes.
"What do you have in mind, Mr. President?" asked Donetti.
"This is going to take a different mind than mine. I want you to ask Lorraine what she would recommend," said Riker.
"You sure about that?" asked Donetti.
"Yeah. I mean, isn't it that voodoo New Age crap that got us into this shape in the first place?" asked Bainbury.
"Look, I'm admitting there are forces here that are older than any of us know about. I never even knew anything about a seed of Lucifer until Hadid showed it to me in the oldest writings. We've been fighting battles in this war since the earth cooled. Well, now it's time for the final battle, I suppose. We don't have much time, so let's get it done. I do know one thing. We don't need some church to tell us what to do next. That's all I can say. It might be my last order as president, but if I don't give it," said Riker, rubbing his hand from his forehead back through his hair, "if I don't give it, I just think we're the last hope they have. Whatever she says, you pump it out with everything that HARP thing has. Hold back nothing. Hadid, let's go. These men have work to do," said Riker. Hadid reached for the knob and pulled the door back. Donetti and Bainbury sat there as the door closed on its own with a deep wooden click. The general reached for the phone, dialed three numbers, and slowly brought the receiver to his ear.
"Agent Smith, I need you to bring Lorraine to the fifth floor conference, Building E. Top priority. 10 minutes, said Bainbury with no emotion.
"May I?" asked Donetti, scooting the phone over to his side of the conference table. He tried a few times to get an outside line and finally dialed the number for the Alaska HARP facility.
"HARP Kokona facility, Lieutenant Roland," said the young voice on the receiver.
"Lieutenant, this is Donetti. Can you report your condition over there?" asked Donetti, still formulating his thoughts.
"Sir, we are operating at about 75% since the ionosphere is now fully expanded. It's only the carrier, as you requested. There's no signal being added. We still only have the three of us," said Roland.
"How's your Mojave team holding out?" asked Donetti.
"There's still just the seven of them, but not to worry. Those guys are the best they had. The other 43 were a bunch of lifers just trying to stay out of the way until they could retire. They're gone."
"They did report a walk-in on the Watt system a short time ago," said Roland.
"A walk-in? What exactly did they say, Lieutenant?" asked Donetti.
"A few hours ago, apparently, a pilot in full jumpsuit uniform walked up to the fence. They picked him up on camera and brought him in. He's in the infirmary now, sleeping. He said he'd not slept in days and had been weightless for a week. At least, that's what the text reads," said Roland.
"I need to debrief that pilot, Roland. Get me the contact information from Mojave. You stand by for a notice to broadcast," said Donetti.
"Yes, sir.
Do you have any idea what we will be sending out? Asked Roland.
That's top secret, Lieutenant. You just be ready. It will be going out within an hour, said Donetti.
Yes, sir. I am sending the contact info via Watts encryption now. It should come up on your screen in a minute, said Roland.
That'll be all, Lieutenant. Carry on, said Donetti, and he hung up the phone.
They have a downed pilot in Mojave. I think he fell to Earth, said Donetti.
There are no officers in Mojave. I wouldn't trust this to non-coms, said Bainbury.
Yeah, well, they're also 3 hours away by the fastest transportation we have, said Donetti.
Do it by video, said Bainbury.
Impossible. We need equipment, experts. That's not the way we get information, said Donetti.
Bullshit. We don't have any of that crap in the field. You want to know when he's lying? Hell, I can do that. The Lady Guru can do that.
Get it done, Donetti, said Bainbury.
I'm not one of your troops, Bainbury, sparked Donetti.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Annapolis. Take a look around. We improvise. You want information? Try asking a question and listening.
We're not on the boat, you know, responded Bainbury, trying to soften his gruff voice.
You're right. You're right, of course.
You happy?
What is keeping those guys? Asked Donetti, tugging at his black dress jacket cuffs.
It's okay, Sam. Just trying to keep it real, my friend.
You want some coffee? Asked Bainbury.
Decaf.
Yeah, thanks, said Donetti, rubbing his temples for a moment.
This machine does it by the cup. I think they have a 3-year supply of these things.
Oh, here we go. Nicaraguan robust decaf, said Bainbury as he put the small plastic cartridge of coffee grains into the machine and pushed the button to begin brewing.
Cream? Sugar?
Cream.
Takes the bitterness out, said Donetti.
In less than a minute, he set the white coffee mug down on the table in front of Donetti with a creamer and a napkin. He pushed the button on the machine to make a second cup from another brand.
Wow. I thought you guys drank coffee from a helmet, said Donetti, taking a sip from the mug.
Soup. Soup from the helmet. Coffee is from the aluminum cup heated up with a hot iron poker stuck in the fire.
We are barbarians to the core, but we're civil about it, said Bainbury, smiling as he retrieved his black coffee from under the nozzle.
You're all right, General.
What's your first name? Asked Donetti.
I don't remember. I haven't used it in 40 years, said Bainbury.
You can be an asshole sometimes, said Donetti.
There. You see? You didn't need a machine to tell you that, said Bainbury, sitting back down at the table.
The doorknob rattled, and Agent Smith opened the door and stepped in.
I came as quick as I could. I brought Agent Jones and Lorraine. She insisted we bring Kyle.
Good morning, gentlemen, said Smith, shaking hands.
Admiral, General, good to see you both, said Lorraine, also shaking hands.
Hey, sirs, nice to see you again, said Kyle, half saluting them.
Oh, coffee, I smell Nicaraguan. Mind if I make a cup?
Help yourself, said Bainbury.
Close the door, Jones, we have some information, and need your input, said Donetti.
Where is General Smart? Asked Lorraine.
He's no longer with us, said Bainbury.
That usually means someone was fired, inquired Smith as he sat down at the conference table.
I think we lost him after the Cleveland hit. He stormed out of the briefing room saying something about nuking everyone, and he was not seen again.
Hasn't made a peep since that night, said Bainbury.
I guess hatred doesn't belong here, said Lorraine.
Yeah, well, it goes both ways, apparently. The attack fleet has been observed losing some pilots, said Donetti.
What do you mean, observed? Asked Smith.
Mary Van Flandern at Griffith Observatory has eyes on the fleet up there. A few dozen ships fell out of formation. It appears the human pilots disappeared from their seats, and the aliens, or ultra-terrestrials, or whatever we're calling them, are not allowed to do the shooting or the flying against us, so those ships are out of the operation, said Donetti.
Well, if they're not up there, began Lorraine. There was a walk-in down at Mojave, said Donetti.
A walk-in? You mean one of the pilots showed up in the middle of the desert? Asked Lorraine.
She reads you pretty well, Sam. No machine, said Bainbury, smiling over his coffee mug at Donetti.
But there was only one. That means there are others, and we can assume they're not going back to the old world. They're coming here.
It has to be translation, said Lorraine.
That's what Hadid said, said Bainbury.
What is translation? Asked Smith.
There are four post-mortal conditions of the human spirit. Disembodied, a temporary condition called transfiguration, translation, and resurrection. The last condition occurs after physical death, and the one before that sort of takes the place of physical death, said Lorraine.
You're saying these pilots died? Asked Donetti.
Sort of. It's called changing in the twinkling of an eye. It has happened only a few times in history, but then there was no higher plane for them. Now there is.
It's here.
They're coming here, said Lorraine, pointing her fingers at the table in front of them.
Well, that brings me to my reasons for calling you here at this order of the President.
I need a message to send out over the harp while we still have a connection to the other world, said Donetti.
Oh, I get it. Sort of like those public service announcements we used to hear on the radio. The Ad Council.
Yeah, I remember those. It was like Propaganda Central, said Kyle, doing his best to lighten the mood.
I need some time, said Lorraine.
We don't have any, said Donetti.
Those ships up there are going to dive out of that formation and begin laying down the most powerful weapons I've ever seen any minute. They'll cross that 15,000 miles in about 2 hours, and then all hell is going to break loose, no pun intended, said Bainbury, banging his fist against the table.
Easy there, General, said Donetti.
God knows I am being easy, said Bainbury.
I hope so, quipped Donetti.
Look, it's not about right and wrong here. There's nobody up there judging us one by one. It doesn't work that way. We judge ourselves by our thoughts and our actions on those thoughts. It's our frequency, our vibration. If you want to call it consciousness, that's even better. We cannot exist in a space with a higher frequency. It self-destructs, said Lorraine.
What did you say? Asked Donetti.
It's dissonant, like a sour note, said Lorraine.
It's called destructive interference, said Kyle.
Details, said Donetti.
Okay, look. Whenever waves collide, they combine energies. When a peak hits a peak, they add to one another. When a valley hits a peak, they cancel out. That's how noise cancellation headphones work. They use it in airplanes to cut down on cabin noise. The wrong vibration in a room cannot be heard, but the resonant vibration in a room will break the windows out, even though they are on the same power.
It's basic resonance theory, said Kyle, taking the spoon out of his coffee mug and taking a sip.
I get that. I understand it. But I still don't know what to tell the President, said Donetti.
I'll have to write something, said Lorraine.
Why? Just play music, said Kyle.
Oh, my God. What are we now, the Radio Music Hour? Asked Bainbury.
No, wait. I think he's right. The most remarkable ceasefires in history were brought about by music. The Cathars used song to turn the soldiers. The soldiers came out of the trenches and sang Christmas carols together during World War I. The seed of Lucifer is at the head of this war, and they always have been.
We might not be able to turn them, but we can turn the victims of their propaganda, she said.
Really? So we're going to play Joy to the World to them, and they're just going to fall out of the sky. That's your plan? Asked Bainbury.
No, wait. It's not the words, or even the songs that make up the vibrations, guys. It isn't even the melodies. It's the frequency and the harmonics that make you feel like hugging someone. It just has to awaken the senses, said Kyle.
He's right. There are physical parts of the human body that respond to these frequencies. They work both ways.
They can influence the mood of just about anyone. You could ask General Smart, if he was still here. They used it all the time with the sonic weapons they used in the last few years, said Lorraine.
Okay. The President wants us to put this into action in the next hour. What are the frequencies? What's the code? What is it that we send over there to stop this attack, petitioned Donetti with his hands up.
I'd say 936 hertz. The harmonics. Voices, said Lorraine.
What makes that so special? Why that frequency? Asked Bainbury.
I know it's about 10 times that of your weapons, but it is designed to resonate with the crown chakra, said Lorraine.
Oh, geez, there we go. The new age shit, said Bainbury.
Oh, come on, dude. I think she's right. It's the solfeggio scale. Most of the mega rock bands use them to open the higher consciousness. Ever listen to Tchaikovsky, The Hymn of the Cherubim? Asked Kyle.
There's a reason why our DNA is made like a molecular antenna, said Lorraine.
Yeah, but don't play this stuff around the wrong people, said Kyle.
Go on, said Donetti. They have a totally allergic reaction. Hives, puking, and they start burning shit down, said Kyle.
Make it happen, said Bainbury.
Hold on a second. What are we trying to accomplish here? Asked Donetti.
Burn the bastards down, shot Bainbury.
Awaken the souls who can make the jump to this world.
Translation, said Lorraine.
Soothes the savage beast, man, said Kyle.
I'll bet Morley has a shit fit when he hears this, said Bainbury.
Consensus. Let's send the music with a broad selection in the 936 hertz range. All those in favor, petitioned Donetti. Seeing all hands raised, he added his own.
Unanimous, said Lorraine.
Jones, go get the President. Smith, I want deployment plans in 20 minutes.
We'll send them by landline to Lieutenant Roland at the Gacona facility, said Donetti.
Yes, sir, said Smith.
And Smith, when the President says go, and I'm pretty sure he will, let nothing stand in your way, said Donetti.
Yes, sir, said Smith.